lacks love. He relents over disaster. Thus far the text. We heard it at the start of today's liturgy. Thus you are, and to thus you shall return. The ashes for which this day is named show no one that you are fasting from food, for who knows if you are, but they do show everyone that you are dying, and of that you and everyone else may be sure. Thus you are, and to thus you shall return. Such is the wages of sin. But then, through humility, you are brought to confess the one for whom those words sound so wrong. O sacred head, now wounded with grief and shame weighing down, now scornfully surrounded with thorns, thine only crown. If ever there was a head that did not call for the ashes of this day, it is Christ Jesus' sacred head. My thorns, which should have been a golden jeweled crown. When Joel declares a sacred fast, when he urges the trumpet to sound and the people to gather, it's revealed that the occasion is one of return. Lent is always about a return to. Yet so often you think of it in terms of turning away from. What are you giving up? What will you fast from? I make no mistake about it, it's a good thing to fast. Did not your Lord assume that the disciples would do so, as we heard in tonight's gospel text? When you fast. When, not if. But by itself, fasting, going hungry, can be nothing more than empty religious practice. The Lenten fast goes deeper than your decision to deny yourself some tasty treat. Rather, it invites, it summons, it urges you back to the Lord. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and He relents over disaster. A Lent that is anything less than a return in faith to the Lord is only a religious gain and worth less than nothing. Rather than play games with God in this sacred Lenten season, He summons you to come back to Him, to return to Him now, to continue to be repenting and believing. He does not want some outward display, pious language, and demeanor in front of only the church folk. A few minutes tossed His way one day a week. No, He wants your heart, and not in some cute, cuddly way either. Hence the words, rend your hearts. Psalm 51, verse 17 proclaims, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. A heart that is rent is torn open. It is a heart that is wounded, damaged, and broken. Such a heart God receives from you as a pleasing sacrifice. When from the depths of your being you plead, O God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I have made such a mess of it all. I have hurt so many people and failed so often to show your love. And you know how terrible my thoughts and how soiled my desires are with sin. Have mercy on me, O Lord. your Savior. Now, wounded, this is the one who, this is the one we are summoned to return to. It's quite important, though, to point out that he is the one who knew that you on your own could not come to him, return to him, nor find him. He came to the world. He found you. It's a marvel how far he went to find you. For it is a marvel indeed that the God of Israel, Yahweh, took on flesh and blood and showed himself, revealed himself in the Annunciation. That is enough to leave man astounded forever. But he went farther. Not only did he take on your flesh and blood, not only did he become dust for you, but he also went so far as to lift off from you the burden of your sin, to bear it in his own body, to death, to own all your failures, and to live in love as his very own. Indeed, in the words of St. Paul, he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He not only died, but he also died as the greatest sinner of all time, with the sins of the world upon him, all of it, everyone's. Thus the Lord revealed that he is indeed merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Look to the crucifix and see. He bore your sin to death, that neither death nor sin might be the end of you. Such is the measure of his love. During Lent, when the Church calls you to return, she is calling you to return to Christ, to draw near to this Savior who was wounded for your transgressions, who was bruised for your iniquity, upon whom was the punishment that brought you peace, and in whose stripes come healing. The Church reminds you that the only real life in this world is fellowship with him, that is, communion with him, and that every time you have settled for anything less, you will allow yourselves to be deceived and cheated of the great gift of which baptism made you heirs. As often as she sets the table, the Church calls all of her children to return, to be gathered to this living, yet wounded Savior, who bore your wounds in his flesh, spilling his blood for you, so that his flesh might be your living bread from heaven, and his blood the blotting out of your every sin. Thus you are, and to thus you shall return. So goes the imposition of the actions. But the shape of his blessed merits on the cross recalls